Jesus sat in the boat and spoke to those who gathered to hear him speak. And he told them this parable, the parable of the soils, which is also known as the parable of the sower. This remarkable parable reminds us that the kingdom of God is an open invitation to anyone who is willing to receive it, whose heart has been prepared by the Holy Spirit and is ready to repent and accept Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. We as followers of Jesus have the task of sowing the seed of the one true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the saving grace of God through true repentance and forgiveness of our sins, all because of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. Well, the seed that we're called to sow is the Word of God, specifically the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sowing is us using our God-given gifts and talents and sharing the good news of our own relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives. I'd like us to take a closer look at some of that insight. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, as many of you know, I grew up on Long Island, so I didn't know or see many farmers. Moving here to Douglas, I've seen them. I've seen their machinery. Sometimes I've followed it on the roadway. Their silos. And I'm learning and respecting a great deal about farmers. All that land, all that hard work, all of it is theirs to till. You see, one thing I've learned is that farmers know something about making a living. They know what it means to work. Farmers live with a strong work ethic, an attitude. If they don't do it, it won't get done. Did you hear about the farmer who told his son, who was always complaining about work, that he only had to work half days? And his father said, "I don't care which of the 12 hours you choose." Farmers know that if they don't put it in the ground, then it will never spring up out of the ground. You don't plow a field in your mind. You need to get out and do it. I can vividly remember walking with my family from the Mount of Beatitudes down to the shore of the Sea of Galilee to the Church of Peter's Primacy. It's also the place where Jesus fed the 5,000. But the path from the Mount of Beatitudes down was winding. And all along the side of the path were gray rocks, pretty good size, just seeming to be everywhere. The ground was hard. This was a ground that the people of Jesus' time were very familiar with. And it instantly brought me to this parable. This experience transformed me right into the scripture. And I can still visualize the farmer scattering his seed and seeing some of it fall on the path, some by the wayside, and some off of the path. In this parable, Jesus is referring to people who did not get it, who heard the message but failed to comprehend it. They didn't understand, they didn't take it to heart, and therefore it did not feed them. So the birds came and ate it up. The birds, of course, represent Satan and the evil influence that he has in the world. Satan is the thief. And like the birds that take the seed away, he robs us of God's truth if we refuse to believe. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The truth is, there is good soil. The seed that we have must find their way to the good soil. The path, or the soil, is the object of our evangelistic efforts. Our use of our gifts must be intentional, aimed towards people looking for answers. And that does not mean that you need to stand on a street corner with a rolly Bible, thumping on it, and saying, "The end is near, repent." Sometimes, as I've said many times before, it's just a shoulder on somebody who looks lost or is hurting. Or it might be somebody who's trying to deal with her kids or his or her kids on the line at Walmart or on the line at Harvey's. And you might just be able to give them a smile, and a loving smile, not a condescending smile. It's distressing to me that some never accept the invitation that has been offered, or even worse still, only partially accept that invitation. Some outwardly reject it and think that they are the highest thing on the planet, and that nobody is bigger than they are, not even God. Some people will say, oh yeah, I know the Lord, but they don't live like it. And they plug their own truths in instead of his. Just as the seed falls on different soils, so will his gospel. Some of that seed will take root and flourish, and some will wither and die. It's the same with those who fail to fully see the truth and knowledge that Jesus Christ came into the world and he is Lord, and that he is God, and that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior is him, is Jesus. That, my friends, is the cold, hard reality of it, that not everyone will be saved. That hurts to think that, to know that. But there are people that outwardly reject the gospel, that outwardly reject Jesus. Not everyone will be saved. Many, through their own unwillingness to see the truth or to accept the truth or even to hear the truth. It's not a fun thing to hear, and it can be horrifying to think that there are some who will not spend eternity with Jesus, or even worse still, knowing that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can do about it. While it's true that there's not one person here today that can save a soul, it's also true that each one of us is called to tell them the truth anyway and show them the truth. We've got to keep spreading the news. We're not supposed to fold up our tents and go home because we have no control over who goes to heaven or not. No. Instead, we're to try even harder to sow the seed of truth and to pray to the Holy Spirit to take root in their hearts. Giving up should not be a part of our vocabulary. And besides sowing the seed, we're called to nourish and help it grow through witness, good example, and through patience and love. That's where the church, as the body of Christ, comes in. As I said, sadly, there are some people who think that simply praying a prayer will get you into heaven, or maybe answering an altar call at a large event will open the door to eternal life. They're important, don't get me wrong, and powerful steps towards knowing Jesus, but they're a part of that seed that's planted and which is broken open by the Holy Spirit to sprout and take life. What follows is the most important part of life, the eternal life of any believer. Think of the four soils that Jesus spoke about: the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil. The environment, the life, the very heart of the believer is the soil upon the seed falls. Just praying a prayer alone is like the seed falling on the rocky soil. Unless there's repentance and willingness to submit to Jesus as Lord, trusting in him for all things, that's called faith. If you're the same person doing the same old things, the same behavior that you did before you met Jesus, then there's no growth, there's no transformation, and as Jesus said, there's no root. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, also a part of the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. A response is required. The invitation is there for everyone. How many of us have heard time after time, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's the invitation. And the key word is believes. Not just knows him, but believes. That's where the response is required. Not just saying, yes, Lord, I want to know you, but there's more than that required. We've got to give Jesus the permission in our lives to change us, to transform us. Last week we talked about an amazing transformation, the transfiguration. When Jesus showed Peter, James, and John on that mountain what he really looked like as God, we have to give him permission. And not just permission, we need to give our submission to his lordship. So I'm going to ask you a very important question this morning. Are you the same person doing the same old things that you did before you met Jesus? And I pray that you're not. Spreading the word of God is a charge that each and every believer was given when Jesus said, on a mountain in the Galilee, as recorded in Matthew chapter 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You've heard me say that that's not just the Great Commission. It's the great co-mission, that we're in it together. And Jesus is with us. It helps us not only to spread the seed, but to prepare the soil, to nurture the growth that God has enabled. The work of the people of God, his holy church, is to help water and feed those whom he's called and chosen. Those with ears to hear his message, to hear and understand the word of God. Our response as his holy church, as one-time seedlings ourselves, is to bear the fruit of his love in mission to others. I want to share with you a very important scripture from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, in which God reminds us that he expects to see the effects of his work. He said, as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's made an investment in you, in all of us, and it's the most costly thing. It cost him his Son, Jesus Christ. His expectation of us is costly as well. He expects us to give our all, our everything to him, by not just calling him Lord, but by treating him as Lord. Let me ask you a question. Those of you with children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, do you expect when they say they love you, that they truly love you with all their heart? Or are they just giving you that much? What do you want from them in return? You give them all of your love. You expect them to love you the same degree. And most of them do. Think of that from God's perspective. That as our parent, as our father, he loves us more than we can even imagine. And yet, do we return to him all of our love, or do we just give him that much? Once the seed is sown, the body of Christ has got to assist in the growth of the seedlings. And that, my friends, is where we all come in. And it's not just for the growth of others, but for our own growth as well. Coming to the church on Sunday is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't or shouldn't end there. We're called to be in relationship with one another. Wednesday nights, we have a fabulous time of fellowship. We eat dinner together at 5:30. And then we have Christian education for all ages. There's 5 different classes. Farmers, you know that you just can't plant the seed and walk away. And I'm looking around the room to a lot of people that have that experience of planting seeds or enabling others to plant seeds. You can't just put it in the ground and leave it there. What are these huge things when you drive down 158 towards Waycross? You see these long tubes on the wheels and stuff? Doesn't that water so that it can nourish? You can't just leave it alone. You have to help it. No one can break open a seed and make it grow. We can prepare it. We can nourish it. We can feed it. R.W. Griffin knows all about that. Helping people to feed the plant, the seeds that they put in the ground. Not one of us can save a soul, but we can share about Jesus with them. Just like fertilizer, water, we can help it. But only the Holy Spirit can crack open that kernel and make it grow. It needs a lot of loving care and some work too. And maybe even some prayer. You see what I'm getting at here? As we care for one another and pray for one another and even teach one another, we're caring for God's fields and helping to make each other grow. And for that, I am extremely grateful to see the work that is going on in this parish and the care and prayer for one another. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.